Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Morning Sense, our very quick 20-minute run-through of the news that you need to know if you like business and investing. Thank you so much for being here, all 100 people in the chat. Don't forget to like the video on your way in and your way out. And thanks for being here. Also, don't forget that we have Q&A upvoting and downvoting on our Meeting Pulse link, link in the description as always, and the QR code here in case you want to use your phone. And you can find us on podcast, anywhere you get your podcasts. Missed you all over the weekend, and it looks like that the market did not miss us because the market is down a lot yet again, continuing the drop from last week. The market has a lot of, I would say, more than indigestion now. It is a full-on puke fest at this point, with the NASDAQ down 1.7% as we open here, the first 2 minutes of trading. This S&P opening up down 1.4%, and the Dow down 1.3%. Gold is down almost 1% at $1,868 per ounce, and oil is down 2%, but up over the weekend at $107 per barrel. That's something we're going to look into at ROI.club is maybe if we can underwrite, you know, elevated but not continually rising oil prices and energy prices. Is that a good hedge to a portfolio? Is that a good investment to invest in some of the more stable ones around there? Looking into rates, the 10 years at 3.125%. I like the Wall Street Journal's portal here just to look at the bond yield, so rates, if you all market data, the 10-year is at 3.123%, the 2-year is at 2.643%, and the 3-month T-bill is at 0.82%. And I think what's salient right now is the 30-year mortgage rates. And we can check on that because that is affects how much people can, how much they can afford in terms of house. So obviously this is like Florida because it's kind of pegging me here, but the 30-year fixed at 5.8%. So 30-year mortgage rates are going up and are staying well over 5%. So it's at about 5.5%. Okay, so let's run through our first news piece of the day, which is that oil prices top $100, yet some big U.S. frackers let production fall, which is counterintuitive because we think that if prices are up, you should increase production. They're at their highest in years, and politicians want companies to pump more because the biggest thing at the American dinner table right now, and I actually think the global dinner table, maybe outside of Central Europe, Eastern Europe, is inflation, or at least in the Western world. I'll pare that back. Europe, maybe developed Asia and North America, maybe the biggest thing for political voting right now is inflationary pressures. It's something that I think the Biden administration is I think freaking out a little bit. So they're trying to push more production out of these oil and gas companies, given the first part or the most optically, prominent piece of your daily spend as an American is the prices at the gas pump. But unfortunately, large American frackers are standing put and even letting production decline and handing investors cash. Much of the U.S. shale industry recently reported higher profits than in the same quarter of last year, but they're not reinvesting into more production, and some have even let U.S. output slip as they focus on paying investors. They shelled out a combined $9.4 billion in dividends and share repurchases, and limited spending, supply chain constraints, and harsh winter weather in some regions took a toll on shale production, and it's only really increased modestly so far. Producers such as Pioneer, Marathon, APA, which was formerly known as Apache, and Devon Energy reported drops in domestic oil output from the prior quarter, down between 2 to 8%. And this is kind of an interesting thing as the Biden administration urged shale executives to pump more to ease those gas prices. And Marathon said it will spend about 8% more this year due to inflation if oil prices stay elevated. So this is something, as you hear oil and gas energy bulls talk about how there's more discipline in the industry. Here's the discipline. People are not jumping on higher prices and increasing output ASAP because to kind of cash in, they're being more disciplined in increasing production. We'll keep this. We got to do more work on whether or not this is sustainable or going to stay at higher prices. But this is an interesting thing I wanted to call. We wanted to call to your attention. All right, on to the next story. Port labor, which, you know, has been a big issue with the supply chain constraints, with logistics, higher shipping costs. We can't find enough dock workers to get the containers onto boats and to off the boats. And then also, and then just to meet the fact that we have a shortage in like truck drivers, just a shortage in workers kind of across the board. What's happening is that West Coast dock workers and cargo handling companies are due this week to begin contract negotiations that carry high stakes for the American economy that's been racked by aforementioned supply chain disruptions. The West Coast docks are very, very important because they carry in imports from Asia, where a lot of our production happens, our manufacturing happens. The labor talks cover about 22,400 workers at 29 ports, including the big Southern California facilities in LA that make up the country's busiest gateway for imported goods. Similar negotiations have been long and contentious in previous years, leading to extensive disruptions and delay in the flow of goods. But this is the highest risk period and negotiation that we've seen thus far when negotiating with the International Longshore and Warehouse Union and cargo handling companies. And they're set to begin on Tuesday, so tomorrow, 2 years into a supply chain crunch. So we need these types of things in the economy to get eased in order to relieve some of the inflationary pressures. Big question out there is if inflation can be brought to heel. And one of the big pieces of inflation, right? Inflation is too much money chasing too few goods and services. So there's two ways you can alleviate inflation: is you reduce the amount of money, so that means recession, demand destruction, quantitative tightening, which is Fed-ish and economy stuff, or there's increasing the supply of goods and services. So goods, can't sell enough goods if you can't get them in the country. And if there's a lockdown in China, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Or if you can't ship them through Ukraine or whatever, right? There's a lot of things in the global economy. And you can't increase supply of labor and services if you can't find the labor and people don't want to work. I will pull up, and I pulled this up on Money Talks today. The labor force participation rate is still down. Look at this. It's still down from pre-pandemic levels. So people aren't going back to work. Again, this is on a scale. Just remember the scale. And we've actually been in a downtrend in labor force participation since the peak in 2000. But this is an important issue because unemployment doesn't take into effect. It's only the people, it only counts, the unemployment rate only counts the people that are participating and want a job. The lower that the labor force participation rate is, the less people actually even want a job. Just remember that as well. Moving on to crypto. Let's go to CoinMarketCap. CoinMarketCap, Bitcoin, is down big over the weekend, down 15% over the last 7 days, and mostly down over the weekend starting on the 5th of May, which was Thursday. And we don't stream Friday, so we kind of haven't covered this yet. But the crypto and Bitcoin continued its slide over yesterday and the weekend and is now trading at $33,300 per token. So going to the other ones, ETH is trading at $2,400 per ETH, BNB at $331, XRP at 54 cents, Solana at 72 cents, big slide there, 17% over the last week. Cardano at 67 cents, down 9% over the last day, 13% over the last week. Terra Luna down 27% and is trading at $61. Dogecoin at 11.8 cents, holding up a little bit better. So the big headlines thus is that crypto prices slump over the weekend. So we just ran through it. And my opinion on this is there's less of a fundamental cash flow bull case and valuation case on crypto on both directions. So it's a nascent technology, internet on, or money on the internet, not internet on money, money on the internet. And it is a volatile, high risk, high reward, high downside as well kind of asset that some people think is worthless and will go to zero. And in a risk asset bear market, equities are risk assets. Crypto are risk assets. Real estate conceptually are like investments that are not money market or gold or whatever are risk assets. To me, this is surprising that crypto has held up so much during this bear market. But to me, this is Bitcoin falling with the bear market. This is something that I've been expecting. It's something that I've been surprised that it hasn't happened yet. But lo and behold, it's finally happening. Crypto is following equities. And if we head into stagflation, everything is going to do poorly, except maybe real estate. So at ROI Club, we are investing behind real estate. We like the general trend, although there are some out there calling for a real estate bubble. So stay frosty. The next story we have on in crypto land is that DeFi locked value falls to a yearly low, $27 billion lost over the weekend. As a reminder, value locked on DeFi or decentralized finance protocols set lows. And when they say locked, is a lot of people stake their coins or their tokens to get a yield on it. It's to me, a risk on behavior because it's usually to get a good yield, you're staking kind of more risky assets. Like you're not staking Bitcoin, you're staking, you know, maybe the 50th largest crypto by market cap. So data from DeFi Llama shows that a collective DeFi protocols hold a collective $178 billion as of Monday today, a 29% slump from December, where $252 billion worth of crypto was being staked, and an additional $27 billion of locked value was lost over the weekend in accordance with this crypto bear market. Morning, everyone. Thank you for the 200 people in the chat. Appreciate you joining us live, even on a pretty bad market day as today. Let's check back in on the markets. Let's check in on FinViz. They've had about this market is delayed. This stuff is delayed by 15%. You might hear over the last that even though most of the S&P 500 is down for the year, that 130 something stocks are up. But just remember that half of the 130 plus stocks that are up are energy related. So if you feel bad about not being up year to date, don't. It is a market wide thing. And you know, the things that have outperformed are the really defensive things, Coca-Cola, Walmart, tobacco, which I don't invest in, packaged foods, some healthcare like Johnson & Johnson, and then good old Berkshire Hathaway. Good old Berkshire Hathaway. We got to love Berkshire Hathaway. And telecoms too. All right. That was the year to date. We're refreshing. So this is 15 minutes delayed on the sector, and don't feel bad if your portfolio is down because everything is down today. Everything is down today. Let's go into our stock specific stories. Palantir profit miss, downbeat revenue forecast, send shares tumbling. Let's log into Sentio together, but I'll read the story for you. Palantir's forecasted Palantir forecast second quarter revenues below Wall Street expectations today, this morning, and the stock is down more than 15%. It's known, you know, this company, you all know Palantir, a lot of people own Palantir. They grew revenues by 31% year over year, but they did forecast only 5% quarter over quarter growth for Q2, which is 20% growth instead of their long-term guidance of 30% year-over-year growth in the future, long-term. And they also forecasted only 20% operating margins versus they usually have, like this quarter, they had 26% operating margins. So they're going to be increasing their spend. So I think that was not a great thing. Also, something that I called out in Money Talks today was, if you look at kind of the data here, oh, actually, I wanted to pull up their actual filings. Go here and go into their financials. Something that's concerning is that they lost over $110 million of cash flow from working capital. So that means that they're paying their vendors faster and their customers aren't paying them fast enough. Meaning, I mean, there could be accounting things like a big contract that is delayed on payment or something like that. But just look at free cash flow, right? So their free cash flow is only $30 million. Versus 150 in the same quarter of last year, even though they're growing revenues. So that's kind of a head scratcher there. Stock-based comp still high. Thank you to the 260 people here. I love you all. Don't forget to hit that like button and join us in the meeting pulse for upvoting questions at the end of the stream. And possibly we'll give away some money. So if we hit 100 likes, we'll give away some money. So go watch Money Talks. But at this point, at seven, oh man, the stock continues to slide as market opens, down 22% Palantir, trading at $7.40. Look at this slide. Year to date, down 60% on Palantir. From peak to trough, Palantir is down 80%. You would have lost 4/5 of your investment if you bought at peak. And if you bought at IPO at $10, you would have lost over a quarter of your money, even at IPO. Crypto Mitesh in the chat is saying they just bought, average cost of about $14. So I've been holding off. There are a lot of people, angry people here on YouTube and Twitter, and I've never been a Palantir bear. Also, as a professional analyst, I know better than as a fundamental long only style analyst. I've never been foolish enough to be like super big bear, super big bull, right? All I said is I can tell you when something's cheap and when something is expensive. At 22 times or even 17 times forward EBITDA, Palantir at $7.40 a share is now as expensive as maybe Microsoft. That's probably not it. Let's actually go to the S&P 500 map. Let's pick a stock here in the sea of red. Wow, nothing is green here today. Nothing is green here. Let's pick a stock where you're like, meh, could take it or leave it. Let's look at AMD. I like AMD, but let's look at AMD. AMD trades at 15 times forward EV to EBITDA. So Palantir is still more expensive than AMD, but not by a lot after this crash. After the crash. I have not been able to I don't know when their earnings call is. It's probably like now. But yeah. Thanks so much for the almost 300 people in the chat. Don't forget to like the video. Kurt is saying Zillow's green today. Let's look at ZG stock. And that's probably because it's gotten beaten down and they have about $800 million of actual EBITDA potential after they wind down their stuff. But they also took a hit after earnings too. Let's move on. There's two other stories I wanted to cover. AT&T, Comcast, Verizon, others commit to low-income broadband program. I think this is really good. Internet is a utility-like thing. I think it's hard to argue that people... that we shouldn't provide internet to people, even in the lower, because I think, right, in terms of social mobility, the internet is the way to learn how to code for free. Wikipedia, you can be like the smartest person in the world if you just read Wikipedia. I think the internet is such a big, powerful thing for self-education. And if we can provide that for low-income folks, that can provide a way out of the low-income deaths or the spiral. So, I think the internet is the new library. If you're disciplined enough to actually like study on the internet as opposed to just watching cat memes, although I do love cat memes. Uber tell staff company will cut down on cost, treat hiring as a privilege. This was a segment we did on Money Talks. So go check that out at 10 a.m., which it is scheduled to drop. Uber will slash spending on marketing and incentives and treat hiring as a privilege. It's clear the market is experiencing a seismic shift and we need to react accordingly, says CEO Dara. I've never been able to pronounce his last name. Uber will now focus on achieving profitability on a free cash flow basis rather than adjusted EBITDA, he added. Good. They need to stay lean and mean in the coming recession. And Uber is finally showing everybody that people were wrong. They're going to be profitable and they're going to probably eat Lyft alive. Okay. So, but going back into Palantir, 17 times EBITDA now, 17 times forward EBITDA. So when you look at it and you're comping against maybe Microsoft in this market, Microsoft is trading at 17 times forward EBITDA. Conceptually, actually, it's probably like 16 times forward EBITDA because this is a mid-year fiscal year. I think this is so now you're finally getting Palantir to be a fair valuation. So when folks tweet at me or whatever, and I don't really tweet much, but and they say, Justin, are you buying Palantir? Well, I think in the sevens, this is a reasonable bet. If you truly believe that Palantir is a transformative company that's going to grow 30% compounded over 5 to 10 years, you're finally in the mid sevens getting my blessing that the valuation probably isn't a concern. The valuation probably isn't a concern at this point. So now to me, at in the mid sevens, it's a fair bet. Am I buying Palantir? I'll let Roark members talk about it. So we'll do an exclusive stream tomorrow for Roark members. We do it Tuesday, Thursdays. And I'll let Roark members tell me. I also am just afraid of the retail ownership. Like, look how violently the stock moves on a good quarter. It's like a good quarter. It's a good quarter. Yeah. I mean, what do you all think? I would love to see your opinion. But let's use the last 6 minutes. Thank you so much for the 112 likes. If we can get to 150, we'll give away two prizes. Thank you for the 300 people in the chat joining us here. If your portfolio is red, don't feel bad because look at the market. Look at the market. The only thing holding up is Comcast, Netflix, and Charter. In Moderna, in Progressive. Everything else is deeply red. And what I've told Roark members, and I'll continue, we'll talk about it tomorrow, is this is a cash versus equities game right now. So our jobs is to stay alive like the Bee Gees and keep earning, keep your job, kill it at your day job, save money, and prepare for the coming opportunity. People asking me if I think it's a recession or a depression. I think the economy is too strong right now for me to ever, I can't see a depression happening, but definitely a recession. And maybe stagflation, where it's kind of middling growth and inflation. Inflation needs to come to heel. The Biden administration needs to fix the supply, at least fix the supply chain workarounds. As the probably the most useful thing we can do with taxpayer money right now is fly out to Long Beach, California and get people back to work and happy about it. Stimulate manufacturing ASAP. Secure raw goods into those factories. That's what we can do. So stagflation is everybody's concern right now. Growth, I don't know if growth's going to like tank. I don't think we're in this depressionary period of time. But I do think that stagflation can be just as painful for an equity investor. But I can tell you that this bear market will be a really great time to make a lot of money if you dollar cost average through the bear market. So, and you buy the right things. You buy the right things. Okay. So let's go to the meeting pulse. Let's go to the meeting pulse. One cup of coffee was not enough for me this morning. And the second one got a little antsy. Got a little passionate there. So we got 15 questions in the Q&A. When is it a good idea to sell a stock to free up cash? I don't think as a individual investor you need to, but it all, right, this is all opinions, not advice, and very broad reaching statements. It's very, very specific to the person, right? Like for me, we're doing this and like it's not really like a W-2 income for me, so it's a little bit different. So if I'm managing a static amount of personal wealth, I have to sell, which I've been doing, where like 40% cash. I'm actually probably more like, right, like if you factor in everything, you have to sell a bunch to have cash. But for those of you that are whatever in your career and you make a paycheck every other week or every month, or and you're very confident in your career and the stability of your career, you don't need to free up cash, because guess what? You get cash every couple weeks and you can just dollar cost average, or you can just save that cash, put it into an I bond, put it into XYZ, in order to build your cash position. You kind of get that trickle week after week, month after month. So I don't love selling a stock to free up cash, unless you hate the stock now. Your conviction is broken. It was a thesis buster in a bear market. We cut everything. We're only taking, like, think about this. We're headed into a Mad Max world, into kill or be killed, eat or be eaten, you know, kind of world. And it's what I just say, survival is the key. So hopefully nobody was on margin and got blown up. I've said since the beginning, don't go on margin and stuff like that. And so take the stocks that you're okay taking through the next 5 to 10 years. But if you're like, I don't believe in the stock anymore, I just bought it as a bet, whatever, might be okay to sell. But just remember, like, as long as that's like your sunk cost, you have new money to put to work, probably, unless you're on a fixed income or fixed wealth schedule kind of thing. We talked about Palantir. So go rewind if you want my thoughts on Palantir. We did the valuation. Sell Tesla for Google. Better risk reward, perhaps. I think they're completely different types of investments, but those are two stocks that I would hold. I like them both. I really like them both. Those are two of my favorite compounding stocks over the next 2 decades. Let's just check in on our friend Google, how Google's stock is doing, and Tesla. So Google stock is down 1.8%. Tesla is down 4% in the low 800s. I like Tesla in the low 800s. I think like people misvalue their terminal value, but we need to protect Elon at all costs. Can we all like start, if every Tesla investor just gave like $50 to fund Elon Musk's, a secret service for Elon Musk to protect him, that's probably good, because there's no amount of like DNO and key man risk insurance. He's irreplaceable. There's no amount of money that could pay out for Elon Musk. So we need to protect that guy. All right, let's give away some money. We hit 150 likes. Let's do two $25 raffles. So if you're in the meeting pulse, link in the description and QR code right here, we're going to pick two raffle winners and close it up today. So new raffle. So if you're the winner, you should have a pop-up in your meeting pulse, and then we're going to pick another one. If we had 200 likes in the last, like, I don't know, minute for somehow, then we'll give away maybe two more. Who knows? So if you're the winner, put in new information so we know where to send. Thank you for the 330 concurrent viewers on this new channel. Don't forget to hit that like button. It's a small channel, but I really appreciate you all. And keeps the line on here. All right, the first raffle winner isn't putting in their information, so still have a chance. Maybe I'll go to a Q&A. Palantir, yeah. So I already answered Palantir. It is interesting. It's 17 times EV/EBITDA. Price is fair now. The only thing you need to be worried about at this price is, are you going to be right? Are you going to be right on the binary? On the binary long-term vision, is Palantir going to compound 30% growth into the future? Chris S is our first $25 winner. If we hit 200 likes, we will give away four total. So I'll give away $100 today. So I'm going to pick a new raffle winner, the second raffle winner, start raffle. If you're the winner, you should have a pop-up. So remember to go into the meeting pulse right here. Alexander's been here since day one, since the TikTok 2 years ago. I appreciate you. We'll probably leverage the TikTok again at some point. We just brought on someone to cut up like money talks and morning sense clips, and we'll put that onto TikTok again. It's just TikTok itself is very hard. Like it's a lot of time to do as well. But so I've been here on YouTube. But thank you for following here on YouTube. I appreciate you, Alexander. And the winner should have the pop up. I'll answer another Q&A, and if you're not there, I'll pick a new winner. Can't give away money fast enough. A la Fed circa 2020. Is Jerome Powell recognizing the inflection point in inflation, the point to get back in, meaning that this is the most likely peak hawkish Fed? I don't think it's actually about the Fed anymore. I think it's about actual inflation. I think it's actual inflation. All right, the raffle winner did not put in their information quick enough, so I'm going to pick a new raffle winner, start a raffle. So check your meeting pulse portals. So I think just to go back to that question, when is the inflection point to buy stocks again? I think we need to see inflation abating, like really abating. Hey, Sarab, nice to see you. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's so great to open up the live stream with all of you. We have 100 people in the meeting pulse. If you're the winner, please put in your information. You don't need to put in your full name. Like just put in like YouTube man, and you can put in your email, but we need your email to send you money, and we'll email you and ask you for your Venmo and stuff like that. Carter just walked in. Morning, Carter. Thank you to the 300 people. What else? Another question. A lot of questions about Palantir. What's your argument that makes Palantir the next Tesla or bigger? Well, I'm not a Palantir owner, so that's not a— I know the popular YouTubers here and on finance YouTube are Palantir folks, but I'm not one yet. The argument is they are building a data analytics and machine learning platform that everybody can use and innovate into the future. I'm not like a data scientist, so it's hard for me to underwrite that they are so innovative like that, or if they're just a better competitor to a Microsoft solution. All right, I guess this winner doesn't want the $25. New raffle, start raffle. All right, I'm trying to pick some winners. Can't pick them fast enough. We got to close up this this live stream. Good morning, Sarav. Good evening, Jed from Singapore. Yeah, tough start to the day. That guy is saying, don't do it, Justin. Don't buy Palantir. That's interesting. Dips P. Dips won the second $25 prize. We didn't hit 200 likes in time. We had 197. Okay, guys, thank you so much. If you got any value, don't forget to like this video on the way on your way out or after the fact. Love you all. We do this Monday through Thursdays at Market Open, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, Eastern U.S. time. And just if you didn't win raffle, always come back. It just makes it fun. You can buy a stock of, you can buy like four stocks of Palantir for that price. So for the raffle winnings. And I will see you tomorrow morning. Until then, stay alive. Remember, Bee Gees, that's the theme of this week. Stay alive. And until next time, happy investing. See you all tomorrow morning.